And I want to continue in what we've been talking about here, you know, again, around this season of Christmas, pointing to Messiah. Pointing to Messiah. That's what we were talking about last week, and that's what we want to continue in. That word Messiah, in its simplest form, means Savior. Savior. More specifically, Savior of the world. When you think of Messiah, let that ring in your ears. He is the Savior of the world. Guess what? You are not. You are not the Savior of the world. Sometimes, and I'm speaking, I think, about myself, we take on the burdens of this world. I'm a fixer. I like to fix things. Whether it be a mechanical issue or a spiritual issue or, you know, someone, I like to fix. I want to see people live an abundant life. I want to fix what's going wrong in their life, but I have to just remember and tell myself all the time, I am not your Holy Ghost. I am not that person's Savior. I am not the fixer of these things, but there is one that is. And we have to look to Him. Amen? Amen? And sometimes, and I'm guilty of it, we look to other people to help fix us. We think they have the answer. And they may, if they're operating in some of the gifts that we've been talking about over the past weeks. God can use, He uses people in this earth to help us, right? But that doesn't mean we put that person on a pedestal. But we see and recognize the gift inside the person and the person who is inside the person that is doing the fixing. Amen? So pointing to Messiah. Let's turn to Acts chapter 3. And let me read starting in verse 11. And I'm probably, believe I'm going to read down through this the rest of this chapter out of the Amplified. Talking about pointing to Messiah. Now, just a little background here. This is where, you know, Peter and John come up to the gate beautiful. You've probably all heard this account. But I'm picking it up here where the man is clinging to them. In verse 11, he says, "Now, while he still firmly clung to Peter and John, the man that was healed, all the people in utmost amazement ran together and crowded around them in the covered porch or walk called Solomon's. And Peter, seeing it, answered the people, 'You men of Israel, why are you so surprised and wondering at this? Why do you keep staring at us as though by our own individual power or act of piety we have made this man able to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our forefathers, has glorified His servant and Son Jesus, doing Him this honor, whom you indeed delivered up and denied and rejected and disowned in the presence of Pilate when he had determined to let Him go. But you denied and rejected and disowned the pure and holy, the just and blameless one, and demanded the pardon of a murderer to be granted to you. But you killed the very source, the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses. And His name, through and by faith in His name, whose name? The name of Jesus, has made this man whom you see and recognize well and strong. Yes, the faith which is through and by Him, Jesus, has given the man this perfect soundness of body before all of you. And now, brethren, I know that you acted in ignorance, not aware of what you were doing, as did your rulers also. Thus has God fulfilled what He foretold by the mouth of all the prophets." Hold on to that line. "By the mouth of all the prophets, that His Christ, the Messiah, should undergo ill treatment and be afflicted and suffer. So repent, change your mind and purpose, turn around and return to God, that your sins may be erased, blotted out, wiped clean, that times of refreshing, of recovering from the effects of heat, of reviving with fresh air, may come from the presence of the Lord. and that He may send to you the Christ, the Messiah, our Savior, the Holy One, the Blameless One, who before was designated and appointed for you, even Jesus, whom heaven must receive and retain until the time for the complete restoration. And you know, we've been learning about what needs to be restored when we're in our study of the book of Revelation. What needs to be restored before Jesus can return to this earth? And it's talking about Israel there, really. Israel is going to be restored unto God. And when that happens at the end of the tribulation period, that 7-year period, Jesus is coming back. And guess who's coming with Him? We are. You and I, if you're a born-again believer, boy, there's going to be, I believe, a celebration going on for 7 years in heaven while there's turmoil happening in the earth that we are spared from. And we are coming back to rule and reign with Christ. Amen? Amen. Complete restoration of all that God spoke by the mouth of all His holy prophets for ages past, from the most ancient time in the memory of man. Thus Moses said to the forefathers, the Lord God will raise up for you a prophet from among your brethren as he raised up me. Him you shall listen to and understand by hearing and heed in all things whatever he tells you. He's talking about Jesus. And it shall be that every soul that does not listen to and understand by hearing and heed that prophet shall be utterly exterminated from among the people. Indeed, all the prophets from Samuel and those who came afterwards, as many as have spoken, also promised and foretold and proclaimed these days. All the prophets have been pointing to Jesus throughout history. Some of them didn't even know it. They were pointing to the Messiah. Verse 25, you are the descendants, the sons of the prophets and the heirs of the covenant which God made and gave to your forefathers, saying to Abraham, and in your seed, in your heir, shall all the families of the earth be blessed and benefited. Now, hold your place right there and just turn over to Galatians chapter 3, verse 16. I'm just going to read one verse, so if you just want to listen and not turn, that's fine. Galatians 3:16 says, now the promises, the covenants, agreements were decreed and made to Abraham and his seed. The same seed he's talking about here in Acts, his offspring, his heir. He, God, does not say unto seeds, as in plural descendants or heirs, as if referring to many persons, but unto your seed, your descendant, your heir, obviously referring to one individual, who is none other than Christ the Messiah. And then we pick it back up in verse 26. It was to you first that God sent His servant and Son Jesus, when He raised Him up, provided and gave Him for us, to bless you in turning every one of you from your wickedness and evil ways. God, knowing the end from the beginning, has been pointing to Messiah from the very creation, through the prophets, even through creation itself, points to Messiah, points to Jesus. Amen? I know, and I shared last week about Kanye West, the rapper. He's getting a lot of press, right? He's getting a lot of press, and he doesn't have his past. He's got things in his past that he's, you know, done and said and sung about. But I believe, I truly believe that God is going to use individuals like Kanye West to point to Messiah. Let me read, Reggie gave me this prophecy, and I think he got it from Elaine, or she printed out at least, about some things here. I've got two of them. Let me get the right one. Those of you who don't know Kim Clement, he has gone on to be with the Lord, but he operated in the gift of prophecy. And if you recall, I even played a clip about him prophesying about Trump being president. Trump will be a trumpet. Well, I don't know specifically. Anyways, there are others that talk about the presidency. Played that clip for us. And so there are many things. And I was on his website, and I have not done my due diligence to search and research all this out. But just going by what the website said, there were many other prophetic utterances that have come to pass. I mean, Saddam Hussein and Obama bin Laden and 9/11 and earthquake in Japan or in Japan and all kinds of different things that they were listing there. But I want to read this one because it pertains to what I shared last week, I believe, about Kanye West. So the title here is Rappers in the Kingdom. It says, a cult group from Santa Barbara. This is Kim Clement giving this prophecy. A cult group from Santa Barbara, California, who has affected many states, has risen up with a diabolical plan for the children of this nation. Today I put my words in the mouth of a musician who once spoke of hell as his house of pleasure, corn. I raised up one man from that punk rock persuasion to prophesy over 50, to prophesy over 50 cents. I'm raising up three rappers to combat a cult group that has been raised up to infiltrate the schools, colleges, young people, and the children. Three rappers shall be filled with my spirit, and they shall stand against this diabolical, demonic force and bring hundreds of thousands of kids to the millions into the kingdom of light. Tonight, I must increase the influence and the authority of the prophets. I do not send Kim to you to look good in a red shirt. It represents fire. It represents blood. It shall be that the fire shall consume your enemies, but the blood shall wash a generation clean. And this is not because evangelists only, but the prophets will go to the marketplace, and the marketplace will accept them. They will not be comfortable prophesying in the church. They will not be comfortable prophesying to light. They will only be comfortable prophesying to darkness. I will raise from rock groups, from rap artists. I will raise from sportsmen, and they will speak out the word that the musicians and the rappers already experienced in prophesying without the Spirit. But now they are going to prophesy with the Spirit and with the fire, and will raise up a generation that shall be filled with the fire of God and consumed with His zeal. Be aware of this. 50, 50, 50. Maybe you have no idea who this is, but now is the greatest voice in this nation. It shall come to pass that 50 shall be known as 50 because there are no sins. For there is one thing that shall happen. The Spirit shall come upon him, and they shall say, is he amongst the prophets as well? Then Eminem shall say, how many know who Eminem is? I know that I was born for this. Eminem shall say, I know that I was born for this. I know that I was born for this. There is one more. He is unknown, but shall become famous overnight. He shall be in darkness for a short period, and 50, and Eminem shall overshadow him, and there shall be a threefold cord that will not be broken. Why am I saying this? Why am I saying this? Because America, you have let your children go. You've let them go because you've not disciplined them. But I will bring them back swiftly because you know why? I have raised up a president to watch over the nation. Now I'm raising up watchmen on the wall in the music world. That was from 2005. Prophesied. In 2005, and now we see people like Kanye West and Justin Bieber and Blake Shelton, and they're all, see what is happening is these people are stepping up, and then everyone's starting to gain courage from that, and professing their faith, and you can understand the snowball effect of that. So as that gains momentum, as someone is bold enough to stand up for Christ in this, in the music industry, in the film industry, and in whatever other industry you want to, the banking industry, the financial markets, when someone is bold enough with a voice to stand up, then others will come alongside. And others will come alongside. And as that builds momentum, then others will come. And you can see it snowballing and building momentum. Amen? These are those that Paul spoke of in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Let's turn there. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 14 says, "But thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumph as trophies of Christ's victory, and through us spreads and makes evident the fragrance of the knowledge of God everywhere." Through these people, these celebrities, if you will, he is making known the fragrance of the knowledge of God everywhere. "For we are the sweet fragrance of Christ, which exhales unto God, discernible alike among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing." Charles Finney put it this way. If you don't know who Charles Finney is, he was a lawyer turned preacher, credited for a large part of introducing the Second Great Awakening in this country. He put it this way. He said, "People like Kanye West and these celebrities that I believe you're going to see more of them. I believe you're going to see more of them attesting to their faith in Christ. He called them trophies of grace. Trophies of grace." And I just read that in 2 Corinthians. Trophies of grace. And if you research or read anything about Charles Finney, it even says that he, in his sermons, it said that he would use vulgar language in his sermons. Now, I don't know what they considered vulgar back then. I mean, it probably isn't what we consider vulgar today. But for the pulpit, it was considered vulgar language. But what was he doing? He was getting the attention of a nation. And I believe that these trophies of grace, These Kanyes and all these other celebrities that have these followings, are trophies of God's grace and are going to be used mightily to spread the gospel in these last days. And they're not using language that the church is used to. And we as religious folk need to get beyond that. They may not look like us, they may not talk like us, they may not act like us, but one thing they are alike in us or with us is they love Jesus. And they want to see Jesus spread over this earth. I believe these trophies of grace are going to help introduce the third great awakening in this country, in this land. We as a church, we need to discern the times that we're in. We can't be like the Pharisees and the Sadducees who, you know, Jesus scorned them, saying, "Look, you can predict the weather and look at the weather and tell what's going to happen, but you can't discern the times that you're in." We as a church need to discern the times that we are in. I'm not saying to compromise the gospel. Don't hear that. I'm not saying that. What did Pastor Rob said? He said this for years. Same message, different methods. Same message, different methods. Amen? So why does God send these prophetic voices like Kim Clement into the earth? Well, let me just remind you what we've been sharing about in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I shared these a couple of weeks ago, but verse 7 of chapter 12. But to each one is given a manifestation of the Holy Spirit for good and profit. To one is given in and through the Holy Spirit the power to speak a message of wisdom. To another, a word of knowledge. To another, one to work in faith. To another, extraordinary powers of healing. To another, working of miracles. To another, prophetic insight. The gift of interpreting the divine will and purpose. Prophetic insight. John 16, you don't have to turn there, verse 12 and 13 says this, I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. The Holy Spirit will show you things to come. These prophetic voices are gifts to us to show us things to come. But everything that the Holy Spirit shows us must point to Messiah. Everything that the Holy Spirit shows us must point to Messiah. I don't care if you receive something, a word, a vision, a dream, a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom, whatever it may be. If it doesn't point to Messiah, put it on the shelf. Or discard it altogether. Everything must point to Him who fashioned the earth. Turn to Colossians chapter 1. We're talking about everything pointing to Messiah. Colossians 1 verse 11. It says, we pray that you may be invigorated and strengthened with all power according to the might of His glory, to exercise every kind of endurance and patience, perseverance and forbearance with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified and made us fit to share the portion which is in the inheritance of the saints, God's holy people in the light. Who has qualified us? God has qualified us. He has qualified us. The Father has delivered and drawn us to Himself out of the control and the dominion of darkness, and has transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, pointing to Messiah, in whom we have our redemption through His blood, which means the forgiveness of our sins. Now He is the exact likeness of the unseen God, the visible representation of the invisible. He is the firstborn of all creation. For it was in Him, in who? Jesus, that all things, say all things were created in heaven and on earth, things seen and things unseen, whether thrones, dominions, rulers, or authorities, say all things were created and exist through Him, by His service, His intervention, and in and for Him. And He Himself existed before all things. Y'all losing your... Ooh, I need to speak louder. And in Him, all things consist, cohere, are held together. Now hold your place right there. Hold your place right there and turn to Proverbs chapter 8. Can you see all things pointing to Messiah? Proverbs 8. Verse 22, it says, the Lord formed and brought me wisdom. Now, I'm just going to give you the clue. You can substitute Jesus' name for wisdom here, okay? The Lord formed and brought me wisdom forth at the beginning of His way, before His acts of old. Wisdom was inaugurated and ordained from everlasting, from the beginning. Before ever the earth existed, when there were no deeps, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains laden with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I was brought forth. while as yet he had not made the land or the fields or the first of the dust of the earth. When he prepared the heavens, I, wisdom, was there. When he drew a circle upon the face of the deep and stretched out the firmament over it. When he made firm the skies above. When he established the fountains of the deep. When he gave to the sea its limit and his decree that the waters should not transgress or cross the boundaries set by his command. When he appointed the foundations of the earth, then I, wisdom, was beside him as a master and director of the work. And I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him always. Before him always. Rejoicing in his inhabited earth and delighting in the sons of men. Now therefore listen to me, O you sons, for blessed, happy, fortunate to be envied are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise and do not refuse or neglect it. Blessed, happy, fortunate to be envied is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoever finds me, wisdom, Jesus, finds life and draws forth and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who misses me or sins against me wrongs and injures himself. All who hate me love and court death. Talking about Jesus being there before the earth and the earth was created. Did you notice how in verse, this is quite interesting to me. Verse 27, he said, he prepared the heavens, I, wisdom, was there. When he drew a circle upon the face of the deep, creating the earth. Creating the earth. I'm telling you, every scientific fact that is known to mankind, I believe you can find in this word right here. Amen. There is nothing new under the sun. Nothing new. Wisdom, Jesus, there at creation. Now, let's go back to Colossians and finish where we were at. Someone tell me where we were at.
Verse 18.
Verse 18, hallelujah. And in him all things consist, cohere, are held together. He also is the head of his body, the church. Someone say, I am the church. See, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from among the dead, so that he alone in everything and in every respect might occupy the chief place, stand first, and be preeminent. For it has pleased the Father that all the divine fullness, the sum total of the divine perfection, powers, and attributes should dwell in him permanently. And God purposed that through, by the service and intervention of him, the Son. Help me out. All things, somebody's awake, should be completely reconciled back to himself, whether on earth or in heaven, as through him the Father made peace by means of the blood of his cross. And although you at one time were estranged and alienated from him and were of hostile attitude of mind and your wicked activities, yet now has Christ, the Messiah, reconciled you to God in the body of his flesh through death in order to present you holy and faultless and irreproachable in his, that is the Father's, presence. Who makes us this way? Jesus, by his blood. All things pointing to the Messiah. All things pointing to the Messiah. And then you know this scripture by heart. But I don't. That's why I got to turn there. John 1:1, in the beginning, before all time was the Word, Christ. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God himself. He was present originally with God. All things were made and came into existence through him. And without him was not even one thing made that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. and the light shines on in the darkness, for the darkness has never overpowered it, put it out or absorbed it, or appropriated it, and is unreceptive to it. His message, the Messiah, the one that all creation is pointing to, the one that all the prophets pointed to, his message is our message. It's our message in this earth. It's our message as the church, as the called out ones, the ecclesia. Set apart. Set apart. And it is these trophies of grace that we're talking about that I believe he is going to use in these last days supernaturally. Supernaturally. And again, I'm not saying to compromise the gospel in any way, but we have to be aware of some of its delivery methods and not condemn them. Not condemn them. Whether it's Kanye or Bieber, 50 Cent, Eminem. I think it was Reggie that said that, and I haven't researched this, done my due diligence, but that Eminem was raised in the choir. Did you tell me that, Reggie? Raised in the choir. Train a child up in the way that they should go. And when they're older, they will not depart from it. These people are coming back. I'm telling you, these kids that have been raised up in families of faith, that have been taught the things of Jesus, and that have gone their wayward and rebelled. Listen, it's like Joseph, man. I'm telling you, Joseph was thrown in the pit by his brothers and went into slavery in the kingdom and came out on top in Egypt, and all of Jacob's household was saved from the famine and the drought through Joseph. These kids that have rebelled and gone their own way, here's what's happened. They've accumulated followers to themselves through this rebellion, through these wayward ways. They've accumulated people to themselves. Oh, but then God comes in, changes their heart, renews their mind, and they start speaking out for Christ, and they got all these followers that are looking to them. And the message of the Messiah goes to them. Out of something bad, the rebellion of a child, when they return in their older age, God turns it around and uses it for good. Amen? Trophies of grace. No matter what they look like, talk like, act like, if they are pointing to Messiah, Trump may not look the part. May not say all the right things, may not do all the right things. But I believe God can use anyone at any time. If you look at 1 Corinthians 12:3, it says this, "Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost." If someone is pointing to Messiah and saying Jesus is Lord, the word is very clear. They can't do it but any other reason, motivation, but the Holy Spirit. They may say a whole bunch of other stuff. But God has given these trophies of grace a platform for such a time as this. just like Esther, a lowly Jew becoming a queen and saving a nation. Just like King Cyrus, a heathen king, helping restore the nation of Israel, helping to rebuild Jerusalem, helping to rebuild the temple. Let me read that out of Ezra. Because some of you don't know, or maybe you've heard. And listen, maybe it is. I sound like I'm on somebody's staff campaigning for them. I'm not saying that. But I am saying, where is Ezra? Somebody help me. It's in the book of the Old Testament. Huh? Next to Proverbs. Thank you. Good day. Why can't I find it? I knew I was right in the area. It's a small book. Is it after Isaiah? Second Chronicles, then Ezra. Thank you from the back of the room. Oh, Lord, help me. Y'all know that, you know, I don't prepare this stuff ahead of time. There it is. All right, Ezra, here we go, chapter 1. Are y'all there yet? Good day in the morning. I could have taken a vacation. Ezra chapter 1, it says, now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, almost 70 years after the first Jewish captives were taken to Babylon, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might begin to be accomplished, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, so that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and put it also in writing. Thus says Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord, the God of heaven, has given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he has charged me to build him a house at Jerusalem in Judah. A heathen king. Whoever is among you of all his people, may his God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem in Judah and rebuild the house of the Lord, the God of Israel, in Jerusalem. He is God. And in any place where a survivor of the Babylonian captivity of the Jews sojourns, let the men of that place assist him with silver and gold, with goods and beasts, besides freewill offerings for the house of God in Jerusalem. Then rose up the heads of the fathers, houses of Judah and Benjamin, and the priests and the Levites, with all those whose spirits God had stirred up to go up to rebuild the house of the Lord in Jerusalem. And it goes on to say in other places, Chronicles, and that he went into the treasury and got all the implements. Remember, King Nebuchadnezzar had taken all the implements from the temple and confiscated them when he took the Jews captive. King Cyrus ordered that they go and get all those implements and bring them back out to restore the temple and provide all the implements for the temple. And he used a heathen king. And I don't know if you've watched any of the news that pertains to this, but you know they are comparing President Trump to King Cyrus and how he has been outspoken about helping Israel and being allies with Israel and things pertaining to Israel. You know that he moved the embassy to Jerusalem. He's declared that Jerusalem is the eternal capital of the Jewish nation. And I just read something just recently. He came out and said that declaring Israel as a nation, something to that effect. I didn't read that fully, but so this man who doesn't talk like us, who doesn't act like us, has been exalted to the highest public office in this land. And he is starting to do things to help the nation of Israel, to align with the nation of Israel. He's starting to do things that to the extent that no really other president in modern history has done, inviting Christian pastors and leaders into the Oval Office and having pastors and Christian leaders praying for him and recognizing things and putting things in place to promote the Christian agenda, for lack of a better word. He is doing these things. I believe he's a trophy of grace that Charles Finney spoke of. God will and can use anyone he desires to accomplish his will in this earth, and nothing will stop it. This was another prophecy, and I want to close with this, from Kim Clement back in 2014. I'm not going to read all of this. I'm going to capsule this here. But it says, I have searched, this is Kim Clement, I have searched for a man and a woman who would stand, this is 2014, who would stand in the Oval Office and pray and call for the restoration of the fortunes of Zion, Israel. I have looked for a man who would pray for the restoration of the fortunes of Zion. And then he goes on, he does say some other stuff. He said, this man has stood in Jerusalem. This man that I saw in the vision, a man that came out of a vision. Please hear me. I was standing in my garden. Suddenly the Spirit came and removed from my eyes scales. I was praying for America and I was praying for Israel. Nothing unusual. Suddenly behind me, starting behind my back, going in the form of an arrow, were hundreds of thousands of people. And I turned around and I was stunned at what I saw. This was not just a mere dream, but this was a vision. And so I raised my hand like this, and I don't know how he did it, and every one of them raised their hands. I looked back and they were doing the same thing. I shouted and they all shouted. They were one. They were one. One party of people. It continued until I realized that in the unity of these, amongst them stood one that God had set aside to be the leader of this nation. I said, why am I hearing this so soon? Surely you would show me a little bit of it closer to the time. And the Spirit of God said to me, this man has a humble stature, but he is a genius. I don't know if you've heard Trump speak. He doesn't sound like a genius sometimes. But that's what this says. He's a humble stature, but he's a genius. And then I heard gold. I wasn't sure if this was attached to his name, but he said to me, he will restore the fortunes in this nation because of his brilliance. I couldn't quite see his face because that was not allowed, because there was a mist that covered all the people and he was amongst them. And the Spirit of God made me look at him and he said, this man will throttle the enemies of Israel. This man will throttle the enemies of the West. And there are highly embarrassing moments that are about to occur for many, many politicians in this nation. There will be a shaking amongst the Democrats in the upcoming elections, but unsettling for the Republicans. Didn't that happen? The Republicans weren't for him as a group. Why is God doing this? For God said, I am dissatisfied with what emerges from both parties. And then there is a nation, he showed me. He took me itching for a new kind of war with America. They will shout, impeach, impeach. 2014. They say, but nay, this nation shall come very subtly, but he shall not come in the time of President Obama. They shall come when this new one arises. My David that I have set aside for this nation. A man of prayer, a man of choice words. Not a man who is verbose, who has verbosity, who speaks too much. They will even say, this man is not speaking enough. But God says, I have set him aside. They will shout, impeach, impeach, but this shall not happen. And then God says, highly embarrassing moments when another Snowden arises and people will become very afraid. They'll say, we have no protection. And then God says, am I impressed with your weapons of war? Am I impressed with the strength of your men's legs? Ha! I have said I will bring this nation to its knees. And God said, you have been humbled, and yet some more. And then you shall hear the sounds of a great victory. For where are the people gathered? Where are my people gathered? Where is the sound of unity from my people? I just found that interesting. In the middle of these impeachment process that we're in, how God can take a man and use him in order to show us things to come. These trophies of grace that we're talking about. I'm just encouraging you as a church, and listen, this is for you too. I think some of us in the church have been quieted because of a spirit of religion. Can I say that again? I think some in the church have been quieted because of a spirit of religion, afraid that you're going to say something that isn't quite, that is maybe off color or off skewed according to religion. But I'm here to tell you, just like the Kanyes, the Trumps, the whoevers, you're one of them. You can be one of them. You have a voice. Don't be afraid of saying the wrong thing, as long as what you're saying points to Messiah. Because we're all unique. We all have different ways of saying things. We all can reach out to different genres and different people from all walks of life. And God wants to use us to do that. We're not all going to speak to the same people. I'm not fluent in Spanish. Or French, or Portuguese, or how many other languages? Italian. I don't hang out in some of the places that you guys do. I don't, you know, we've talked. I'm not going to go back. Sphere of influence. But we got to rise up in these last, and this is why I want to encourage us as a church, as individuals, we got to rise up in these last days and, you know, not take a back seat to these trophies of grace that are out in the world, you know. Not take a back seat as the church and be quiet. Stand up. Speak. Faith speaks. Faith speaks. Speak in your language. Your language may not look like my language, may not sound like my language. And don't be condemned because your language doesn't sound like my language or looks like my language. Because there are people that need your language and not my language. They won't respond to my language. They'll respond to your language. Amen? Just like they're going to respond to these trophies of grace that I believe God is raising up. And as a church, we can't condemn these voices based on what we see at face value or based on their past, or if they are pointing to Messiah. Amen. So as we celebrate the birth of the Christ this season, just continually remind yourself of why we are celebrating this season. And remind yourself, there are people out there that don't know who Jesus is. They do not have, they may know who he is, but they have no relationship with him. And you speak their language. You speak their language. You do. Amen. Well, Father, we just thank you. Holy Spirit, I trust and believe that words have gone forth from the heart of God and that they have penetrated and taken root into the ground of our heart today. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you minister to that word. And what I mean is cultivate it within us. Cause it to flourish within us. Don't, church, let's not just hear words and let them fall on deaf ears and fall to the wayside and allowing the thorns and the cares of this world to choke them out or allowing the enemy to come in and steal them from us. No, but let them take root. Let us meditate on them, ponder them. Talk to God about them. And let the Holy Spirit lead and guide you into the truth about them. As we continue to grow in this grace. And that we all may be trophies of his grace. Amen. Hallelujah.